Tarlehurst End Podcast.
Read the blog
on thetarlehurstend.com.
Hello and welcome to the Tarlehurst End Podcast Extra in association with the Reading Post for Thursday, November the 27th. My name is Dan Wimbush, editor of thetarlehurstend.com, a Reading fan site and blog, and I'm delighted to be joined once again by the Reading Post Reading reporter, Charles Watts. Charles, hello, how are you?
I'm very good, how are you?
Yeah, not so bad, thank you. Nights are drawing in. Got less than a month till Christmas.
And I had to scrape the ice off my car this week.
I know.
First time, it was absolute block of ice. Couldn't believe it. I was out there for 20 minutes.
And then the very next day, it's almost biblical floods everywhere. British weather, what are you going to do? But we've got more to talk about than the weather. Unfortunately, we've got another Reading defeat to kick off this show about. as Reading go down to a 2-1 defeat in South Wales against Cardiff. It's not a result that we didn't expect, as we talked about our predictions last time. I think three of you predicted a 3-1 defeat, so we can't say we didn't see it coming. But I said on the main edition of the show earlier this week, did the scoreline flatter Reading at all?
Yeah, it did. Totally did. I don't know how Cardiff managed to make it nervy for themselves that last 10 minutes. They should have been out of sight after half-time. They had about sort of four or five good chances to sort of kill the game off and make it 3. And I think if they had got a third goal, I think it could have got a little bit embarrassing for Reading in the end. But to be fair to them, they held on. You know, they sort of rode the storm, had a bit of luck. Cardiff didn't have their shooting boots on, and Reading hung in there. And then they did manage to make it a little bit nervy towards the end. Michael Hector, with the help of David Marshall, got a goal back. And they never really looked like getting the equaliser. And Nick Blackman flung himself over in the penalty box in injury time, rightly got a yellow card for diving. But other than that, that was the only real scare Cardiff had, I think. And even that was only a scare because the player went down diving. It wasn't like he created a chance or anything like that. So, I mean, they held on relatively comfortably, but I think you sort of look at the result and think 2-1, it was quite close, but it wasn't really that close.
In what has sadly been a long line of bad individual defensive performances this season, was Alex Pearce's possibly the worst we've seen individually?
I'm not sure you can really get worse than own goal, give away a penalty and get sent off before half time. I mean, it's pretty much a calamity, isn't it? He didn't have a game to remember. It was quite simply a game to forget. I felt sorry for him in a way. You don't want to see someone having a sort of performance like that, but he just got his feet horribly stuck for the first goal. Didn't really know what to do with it, because he had a long time to see that ball coming in, but he just couldn't sort his feet out, and it ended up just deflecting in off him. It was very poor. And then, I mean, the second goal was kind of, you look at Michael Hector, really misjudged the ball as well as Pearson, let Alfie sort of get himself in, and then he just pulled him back. You know, it was a penalty, and he had to go. Well, I thought he had to go. Reading clearly didn't, because they appealed it, but I thought he had to go, and it was just a nightmare night for him. And once you're down to 10 men, 2-0 down going in at half-time, I mean, the game's gone, really. It'd take a monumental effort to claw that one back.
Yeah, I cannot believe that Reading launched an appeal against that red card.
No, it's bizarre, isn't it?
Rejected within a matter of hours as well. Shows how much the FA thought of it. But surely you're not going to run the risk of getting a suspension increased.
No, I mean, Nigel obviously thought he had a reason to have it overturned. He looked at it. He said straight after the game to me, he said that he thought it wasn't a red card and that there was a covering defender and he hadn't even gone round feds yet. Alfie, so he thought there was a reason. He looked at the evidence and sent it off, but yeah, like I said, it was thrown out pretty quickly by the FA. And speaking to Nigel today, he hasn't had the sort of reasons why it's been rejected yet, so he's waiting for that. But in real time, as soon as it happened, it was, you know, you just saw red card, no doubt about it. He's off before the referee even got his card out. Well, he didn't even get his card out because he didn't have one, and he had to end up going over to the linesman and borrowing his in the end.
Yeah,
to send him off.
The man he brought down for the penalty, Adam Lafondra, wasn't a happy man after the game. He took to Twitter to voice his disappointment that he got booed by a section of the Reading fans. What did you make of it and of Alfie's reaction?
Well, to be fair, I was disappointed Reading fans were booing him as well. I know you guys weren't. I think I saw a tweet from your account saying it just that happens. And I can kind of understand that in a jovial way with that first player like that. But I don't know. I thought Alfie didn't do anything wrong. He didn't want to go. He had to go. The club sold him to stay afloat, and he at the time he wasn't looking for a move or forcing a move. I could kind of understand Morrow getting booed. It just happens in football, and you know, Morrow's exit was very different to Alfie's, but I thought it was a little bit harsh on him, I've got to say. I know it is just part of the game and he's trying to get under players' skin, but you sort of look at how the Cardiff fans welcome back Chris Gunter and even the Welsh boys, Jake Taylor and how Robson Carney sort of got applause, but Gunter especially, and sort of compare that to how the Red and Away support, not all of them, but a section of them support, greeted Alfie. I was a little bit surprised, I have to say, and disappointed. I'm not surprised Alfie wasn't. We know Alfie's fairly outspoken, so it didn't overly surprise me that he took to Twitter to voice his opinion.
Yeah, and to be fair, as I said on the Main Edition show earlier this week, like personally, I wouldn't boo him because all it does is usually wind up that opposition player to play a little bit better. But as I said, I'll defend the right of a fan. At the end of the day, he's unfortunately, use the term, he's the enemy now. He's not on your team anymore. And if you think that giving him a bit of stick will help your team, I don't think it will, but if you think that's what you want to do, you know, give him a bit of stick. But I said, I'm sure he'll get a nice warm round of applause when he comes to Medeiros Kiri. He did do a lot for the club in his 3 years. He was top scorer every year he was here. So, you know, he'll get a warm welcome back. But I don't know whether you should take to Twitter afterwards to have a bit of a moan. Just get on with it. But anyway, let's move on then. Put Cardiff in the rearview mirror as quickly as possible. We're looking ahead to Norwich now. And what is the latest on the injury front? Because once again, there were, you know, late pullouts like Jamie Mackie unable to play. I mean, who can we expect in and out of the squad for Saturday's trip to Carrow Road?
Well, I'm not expecting Mackie or Pog to be back for it. Anton Ferdinand is, though, and at the moment, as we stand, he's in the squad. He's trained fully with the team so far this week. They had another sort of practice game today and he came through that. And Nigel Atkins says he's in the squad as long as, you know, there's no adverse reaction between now and then, which is a big bonus. Obviously, Alex is going to be suspended. And I imagine if Ferdinand's fit, he'll play alongside Hector at centre-back. So that's, you know, good news. I think we all saw enough from Ferdinand in those 45 minutes to suggest he could be a decent option at the back. Obviously an awful long way to go yet, and it wasn't exactly tested too hard in those 45 minutes that he was playing, but I think it's a positive that he's back, so I imagine he'll go straight back into the team. McCleary obviously got 45 minutes against Cardiff. I would expect him to start at Norwich, and I spoke to him today actually, and he's, you know, fully ready to start. He said he was rusty, and he was rusty against Cardiff. He came off, the ball's bouncing off him a little bit, and you could tell by his reaction that he was getting a bit wound up with not having that first touch. But that's just going to happen, isn't it? You've been out for so long. So that's I can see Gareth McCleary's time. But the big news, obviously, is that Anton Ferdinand appears to be back and available.
No updates on the likes of Guthrie, Karachan, etc.
They're not available. They're not available. Guthrie, they still haven't got to the bottom of. And he's training, or he's doing rehab, but he's not training with the team yet. And the same as Jem. So I'm certainly not expecting them to be available anytime soon.
Okay, well, fair enough. Well, the subject of the manager's future has again been discussed. We were inundated with tweets again for the episode of the podcast earlier this week, and I'm sure you've been getting plenty of them as well, saying Adkins in or Adkins out. One man that's leapt to his defence has been the current club captain, Chris Gunter. What's he had to say?
Yeah, I mean, adamant that it would be the worst decision Reading could make, sacking the manager. He's very much supporting Nigel Adkins and has kind of warned the owners about any sort of rash decision. And I pointed out that only, you know, that stat, only three teams below have kept their manager so far. And he said, well, of the teams that have sat their manager, none of them have got a boss of the calibre of Nigel Adkins. So he's very supportive of the boss. I've spoken to him about it before as well, actually, and he's always very much been in the Adkins camp. I spoke to Gareth McCleary today as well, actually, and you'll see over the next couple of days the quotes will start coming out from that. And Gareth is completely, I think he actually said 150% behind the manager.
That's not just
110%, 150% behind the manager. And I suppose the fact that he signed a new long-term contract suggests that as well, that he's very much supportive of the gaffer. So, I mean, the players are coming out, they're supporting him. I suppose the big thing is, though, they need to start doing that on the pitch, because as I pointed out to Chris Gunter, he's not going to get sacked. The players aren't going to get sacked if this run goes on, but the manager will. So if they really want him to stay and they support him, they need to start winning. And so yeah, I think they all know that as much as they can say it with words, but they've got to start backing out with performances on the pitch.
There was a bit of Tim Deller, that big show about Tim Deller has an opinion piece in Newbury Weekly News, and I was being told that he said that he feels it's a bit of a fractious camp. Do you get that impression at all?
No, I know Tim said that. Someone pointed that one out to me. I don't really. There's nothing. I suppose he's probably basing that more on performances on the pitch, I would say, because... And when you look at it that way, you look at other players playing for the manager, and performance-wise, they're not at the moment, because they're not getting the results that the manager needs to stay in a job. But everyone that you've spoken to, everyone I speak to at the training ground and in the squad, on or off the record, I haven't yet had any bad words to say, or they haven't had any bad words to say about Nigel, and I haven't got the impression that a few of them would prefer him to move on. So no, I'm not quite sure what Tim, maybe Tim's spoken to other people and has heard things that I haven't, but I haven't quite sort of I haven't come to that opinion yet, I have to say.
Well, fans will be able to question the manager directly now, because it's emerged today that Nigel Adkins is on Twitter. My first reaction to this was one of disbelief, especially at the current times. But is this a sensible move for a professional football manager to be on Twitter?
Brave, brave man. is it a sensible move? It depends, I suppose. And as he said to me today, he's got broad shoulders. When I pointed out he's going to come in for buckets load of abuse, he says he's got broad shoulders and that he's just going to give it a go. He says he wants to educate himself on the sort of ways of the world. He says everyone's on social media now. And this is a man, by the way, who has always maintained how much he hates Twitter and thinks it's awful and that players are going to get in trouble and players are going to get banned. And it's bad, bad, bad. And now suddenly, although saying that, he's always said that to me, but then also suggested that one day he's just going to surprise us all and spring up on it. And he's obviously done that now. It's been pointed out to me, this account, throughout the week that it's doing the rounds. And I've been very sceptical about it just because of how much Nigel has always said that he doesn't like Twitter. But I put it to him today. And after a bit of umming and erring at first, where he tried to sort of wave his way around the subject and leave it sort of open that it could be him, in the end we got him talking and it is indeed him. And like I said, he's trying to educate himself and in the world of Twitter and see what it's about and see if he can use it in the right way. And he says he doesn't know how it's going to go. He said, I think the quote was, I don't know how it's going to pan out. But well, I suppose we're going to have to wait and see. But like I said, two wins out of 12.
A brave time to come out.
Probably not the time to be joining Twitter, Nigel, I have to say.
Yeah, quite. Anyway, good luck with that, Nigel. We'll give you a follow. Hopefully you'll follow us back. If you don't, you know, fair enough, whatever.
I noticed when I went through the people you followed at the moment, you didn't follow anyone from Reading or anything like that. It was all sorts of sports management and, you know, typical Nigel Adkins stuff like motivational and all things like that.
So maybe I won't follow him then.
It'll be interesting to see if he does start sort of moving into the football circles now that his identity is known.
Well, we'll keep a firm eye on that. But in the meantime, he'll be preparing, as I said, for that trip to Carrow Road. We've been through a bit of the team news, but I mean, what sort of game are you expecting? Because Norwich, obviously on paper, a very strong team, just come down for the Premier League. They started brilliantly this season, but have just gone through a really scratchy patch. They battled to that 3-0 draw with Brighton at the weekend. Is this a game Reading could realistically go there thinking, yeah, we can get a result?
Well, I think so. I mean, they've won 1-9 Norwich, so two very out-of-form sides who confidence is going to be a bit of an issue with both sides at the moment. It's that horrible typical phrase of first goal is all important, I suppose. When both sides are out of confidence, whoever can get themselves in front, you've got to think will go on and win the game. So Reading can go there and win that. I don't think they will, I have to say. I fancy Norwich to that's not true. I fancy Reading to get a draw. I don't think Reading will win, but I can see them getting a point. It's going to be a difficult game. Now, Norwich, for all their faults, Nigel Adkins was keen to point out today, they're at the top of the charts for pretty much every stat going, or certainly right in the top sort of three or four teams for every stat going. They've just conceded a few too many goals and things haven't quite gone their way, but they're very potent, aren't they? I think they've got Gary Hooper, who Nigel Adkins knows all about, and he scored at the weekend. They've got Callum Wilson, haven't they, over from... Lewis Grabban.
Yeah, over from Bournemouth. Been replaced by Callum Wilson.
Callum Wilson, yeah. Karim Jerome as well. And so they've got plenty of firepower, and I fancy goals. I've gone for 2-2 in the paper. Sorry, jumping the gun with my prediction there, but I fancy goals. And I just got a sneaky feeling Reading might come away with something.
Yeah, well, that's four different predictions from the four of us for the TLSN Podcast Prediction League.
What's everyone going for?
I went for a 1-1. Johnny has stuck to his 3-1 in the Norwich's favour. Westy's gone really bold for no apparent reason and gone for a 2-1 Reading win. And you're a 2-2. So I fancy one of those scores is going to be right, although it will now turn out to be a 1-0.
Well, I'm not going on Saturday. I've got to say, I've got the day off. It's been booked in diary for ages, and I'm not going. And the last away game, Reading won Middlesbrough, I didn't go to. And the two last, pretty much last two home games they won, apart from obviously the Blackpool and Rotherham games, Millwall and Fulham, I didn't go to either. So I think I'm a bit of a bad luck charm this season. The fact that I'm not going, I said to Nigel today that they'll probably go and pick up the points. So hopefully I'm right.
You'll soon receive a ban from the ground if they win this.
Well, never know. I might not be in a job in another couple of weeks, so I'll be banned anyway.
Oh, well, that can't leave the podcast on such a negative note.
No, it's true. Anyway, that's a we don't know what's happening with that yet. Anyway, so I might not.
Yeah, we're still keen.
But even if I'm not, I'll still pop along to the games anyway.
Absolutely. I mean, with such entertainment on value, I mean, how could
miss
you not?
It. Can't
exactly.
Miss it.
Well, we're actually, I'll pull the curtain back saying we're recording this on Wednesday afternoon. The loan deadline will be, as you hear this, on the day. It's on Thursday. Finally then, do you expect Reading to make any moves?
I don't think so, just because now they've left it so late. I don't see why they would just leave it until the final day. Why didn't they do it? They've had ages to do it. And I said that to Nigel today because with my typical journalistic mind, I was quite surprised that they brought the press forward to today rather than Thursday. And I asked him, was that because they want the training ground to themselves on Thursday for a bucket load of signs they're going to bring it on before the loan deadline? And he sort of smiled, brushed it off and said, no, he's just changed the routine a little bit to try and shake, you know, see if he can shake a change out of the form. So they're actually off tomorrow. The players are off tomorrow. And so, but I don't know, if you want to be a sort of skeptic, you can look at that and think maybe he does want the day off so he can be busy on the phone. But I just think they've had an awful long time. If they want to do anything on loan, they've an awful long time to do it. Why do you have to wait until the final day? But that's football, I suppose. Why is transfer deadline day so exciting? Because people do tend to leave it to the last minute to see if they can get the best deal. So he wasn't ruling it out. He wasn't ruling it out when I asked him today. He certainly didn't rule it out. But you know, if I would be surprised if they do. But who knows?
Absolutely. Well, if there's one positive, it's the fact that every time we come to one of these deadlines, he's usually talking up the fact he's going to be doing business. The fact he's talking down business might mean we actually get some deals done for once.
You never know.
But fingers crossed. I still think we could do with the left back. Still think we could do with the left back going forward. But I suppose with it being so close to January, you want to get the right one in, or you might as well just hold off.
Yeah, and that's what he said again when we were talking about it today. He was pointing out about January, and it certainly seems like they want to get permanent business done in January. So maybe they're looking at that and thinking, is there much point just getting someone in for a month or so until then, when we can just wait and do something permanently? So I guess we'll find out in the next 24 hours.
Well, as I said, fingers crossed, we might get a pleasant surprise just before Christmas. Well, anyway, that just about wraps up. As I said, if Reading do spring a signing and make a few surprises first thing Thursday morning, and we're not talking about it, you know why. But meanwhile, the main edition of the show should be back on Monday, and hopefully we'll sit down to chat next week.
Cool. All right, Dan, have a good weekend.
Absolutely. And you, Charles, take care.
See you,
bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
The Tarlehurst End Podcast.
Read the blog
on thetarlehurstend.com.